Checkmate 1-6. Immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by...
That would be Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering App. Derby is right around the corner, first Saturday in May. That would be the 6th. So be ready, be locked in. Get the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering App and do your sports betting at Points Bet. We say good morning to Snorling. What's up?
Good morning, boys. Cap, I'm glad to see you excited today. I would have thought you had sex last night the way you came in this morning.
Hey, man. This is me. I just...
Would you qualify that Cubs game, that win, that comeback as a sexual experience for you? Because it feels like you're light on your feet. Looks like you got a load off.
Wow. Still need some WD-40 for that bed, by the way. That bedpost. Go ahead.
Kids don't live at home anymore. It's not an issue. Dogs don't say a word.
Yeah, I wouldn't say anything either. I mean, but blink of an eye, it's over. Here's Shay Norling. Yeah, but what about Mindy? Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
That's her problem.
All right, boys, let's get started with Ryan Poles. He's been really transparent throughout this process and this offseason regarding both his quarterback, his free agency decisions. That didn't change in the Bears' latest 1920 football drive documentary you can watch on YouTube. Listen to Ryan Poles here.
For me, it's a little bit of a guardrail because as a football person and just someone that wants as many good players on the team as possible, you know, you can go on a spending spree and sure, you can make a fit, but you're going to do damage down the road. So they really act as guardrails to make sure that we stay within the parameter and do things that connect.
That was Poles talking about free agency spending, staying within reason. He didn't want to spend anything on unreasonable contracts. So my question for you, shot or no shot, even next offseason, when maybe the Bears are really ready to go pedal to the metal, Ryan Poles ain't going to be in the business of resetting the market.
I think it is more, I'm going to say no shot, because I think it is more of a case-by-case situation. You know, if this is a surprising team or a year or two from now, we're like, wow, they're all in to try and win, and so-and-so becomes a free agent, let's go. He'll do what he takes. I think it's a case-by-case situation.
I think that is a no-shot, and again, I'd like for you to ask us that as we get closer to the next draft. I would say that's a no-shot. I think that we have to wait until next season, don't we? This time next year? To answer that question?
Yeah, or 2 years from now. Let's see where they are and who's available.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, God, that guy didn't get a deal done. He's going to hit the market. That's exactly what we need. Then he'll do it if he's got the space.
All right, Shay.
All right, Bears insider Jeff Hughes reported on Twitter last night that based on what he's been hearing, the Bears' plans for the 9th pick are the same as they were for the 1st pick, meaning, quote, they have no intention of picking at 9. Shot or no shot, the Bears are going to be trading down too much.
Well, that's a shot if that is the case. That's a shot. I'm not going to go off my original thought on that. I believe that they could be able to find, the Bears could be able to find a quality player at 9. If you want to be able to move down in the later drafts, say day 2 or day 3, and be able to garner more picks, go ahead and do that. I just think at 9, you find the right guy. The first initial move by Ryan Poles, I think, is sound, in which you look at this draft and say, if there's no one really for us, no one really stands out at 1. Why are we keeping 1? Let's just go down to 9. That, I think, is a solid trade for the Bears. I think it actually helps both teams for the future, quite frankly, especially with DJ Moore being part of it. But trading out of 9, okay, so now you're trying to outsmart everybody. And this also, by the way, this is something that we have not brought up on the show, Cap. Something else that we had to bring up. All this movement in the draft tells you about the actual draft this upcoming season as far as quality. Now, in 2 or 3 years, we probably look at this draft and say, boy, that guy's a standout, that guy's a standout. But on the surface, clearly a number of teams at the top of the draft say there's no one that can help us right away. We need help right away. Let's try to mortgage for the future. Because who's, if I say, hey, this year's draft, who's the standout? Who's the can't miss? Don't know that, especially at the quarterback position.
So I don't again, I've said this before. I don't have a problem if he makes a trade. If he feels like, hey, the guy that I really want, I can get at 12, 14, 13, 15, 16, whatever it is. That guy's going to be there, and I would take him at 9, and I can get extra draft capital to move. Do it. Do it. If he's got that, he color codes him. Ryan Pace called them clouds of players. He has them color code. Blue is the top level. If he's got five guys and one of them's going to be there and he goes, I'm good with any of those five, and I can get an extra second round pick or a second and a third, whatever it is, sign me up. Let's go. But if there's one guy on the board and then it's a drop off, then don't trade.
Go ahead, Shay.
Does it feel at all like he's trying to put a Band-Aid on a bullet hole and get the Claypool pick back?
No. I still think he believes in Claypool. I do. I truly think he believes in him.
We'll just rewind just for a second. So, as we've documented here on the show, he didn't know DJ Moore would be in a trade. He didn't know he's going to get the number one pick. Let's start there.
Correct.
And then from there, he didn't know he could get DJ Moore in this deal.
Correct.
When people texted us back about the deal, the initial, I know on my end, I think you got this on your end too. It's, you got a haul and DJ Moore too?
Right.
Wow.
Correct.
Right? Because everyone thought on the surface, the deal cap for itself without DJ Moore was pretty sound. But adding DJ Moore, a starter on your team, I think a lot of people that cover the league were surprised by that.
Well, because the offer, I believe, was the 2025 first round pick, not the second rounder that we got. And he said, give me DJ Moore in the second rounder and you got a deal. Mm-hmm. And they did it. So when he made that trade, I think he truly believes in Claypool. And there are people in the league that still think he can be an emerging player. Hopefully they're right.
What do they always say? What do U talent evaluators always say? We could fix him.
Correct.
If he needs fixing.
Correct.
In this iteration of the Bears, I'm good to see what Claypool can do. Because where are you going next year?
I think he just wants to keep adding talent. He knows, man, we need talent offensively, defensively. Just keep getting picks and keep getting players.
Shay.
All right, boys, the Bulls are in the NBA's play-in tournament tonight. They need consecutive wins to advance to the real playoffs and get a chance to be flattened by Giannis and the Bucks. It all starts tonight in Toronto at 6 p.m., so shot or no shot. The Bulls' season ends tonight.
That's a no shot. The Bulls will win tonight.
Wow. I'm going to have to take that wagering advice into account when I make my plays for tonight.
Oh, no, don't take it to the window. Unless you just want to have as a one-off to the side. Don't put that in a parlay. I'm used to seeing the unexpected with the Bulls. That's why I believe that they're going to win. It's really a coin flip. Well, hey, you're 40 and 42. So actually it's 50-50 when the Bulls play. Almost 50-50. So I expect them to be able to be ready to go and win this game tonight.
Yeah,
I can't tell you after that, but I believe that they're going to win.
Yeah, I don't know what the end game is here because I would rather have a better shot at the pick so it doesn't get conveyed to Orlando. But would I be shocked if they won tonight? No, I would not. I would not be shocked.
You and I have gone round and round about this, this whole thing with the Bulls. You and I have gone round and round about this. You can tank or lose games to try to get a pick, but you can't trust this front office to find the right person. Like, you can ask for, hey, the Bulls, what does this really mean? Why don't they just go for the draft pick? Okay. With this front office? Absolutely not. You can tank all you want, but it cannot be with this coach and cannot be with this front office. Absolutely not. They don't get a second bite of the apple.
The coach doesn't?
I think the organization doesn't get the second bite of the apple. Billy's not going to sit around and coach his way to 17 wins, Cap. That's not who he is.
No, but I don't think you have to take it to the studs like that. I do not.
He is not coaching a bunch of kids. That's not why he came here.
Correct.
Why do you think he came here? Because he had the autonomy of the roster to say, all these guys that were promised playing time, out. Give me some veterans where I can win some games. He's not sticking around for that. Billy Donovan? Absolutely not. Top shelf coach. Now, the only reason why the Popovich is going through it is because he feels he can get Wembanyama. He hates the tanking too, but he's had to accept it with those kids. But a guy like Billy Donovan, absolutely not. He doesn't want to stick around for that. But all I'm saying is for the average Bulls fan that tells you, that tells me, this season sucks. This team sucks. They should blow it up. Okay, first of all, it's easy for you to say. A lot of markets, ask Charlotte what that's like to just sit around and be out of the playoffs time and time again. Or before this year, the Kings out of the playoffs all these years. It's easy for you to sit back and say they should blow it up. But secondly, when you say blow it up, you're not saying in the same breath, I want Arturis Karnaschovas and Eversley fired too. No one says that. They just want it blown up because they don't want to see it on their TV anymore.
Have I not?
Some of our callers,
yeah,
our listeners.
I would. I would change front offices. I've been clear. I don't believe these guys can get it done. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I hope so because I love the Bulls. I don't see it. Can they win tonight? Sure.
Yeah.
Can they beat a lousy Miami team who just lost yesterday? Sure. Big deal. You're not getting by the Bucks. I don't believe.
Very few teams can.
Correct.
In this NBA.
Correct.
And there's good teams in the league, but again, it's about star power.
Correct.
All right, Shay.
Bulls a 5.5-point dog in Toronto tonight, by the way.
Huh?
Baseball's pitch clock has been pretty close to universally praised through 10 or so games, but concessions have been bouncing in the news a little bit recently. Many teams opting to extend beer sales into the eighth inning. They've seen concessions take a dive thanks to the pitch clock, so they're going to start selling beers a little longer. And there's a new challenge trending on social media, the 9x9x9 challenge, 9 beers, 9 hot dogs, 9 innings. Shot or no shot, I can do this.
No shot. And why would you want to? That sounds horrific.
I will say Shane Norling.
Now, one proviso, you can't puke.
East or west.
You can't rally.
If I puke and rally, then it was an unsuccessful attempt. I have to get through the entire thing without throwing up.
Correct.
You're a vomiter?
No.
No?
What kind of? Why is that so funny?
I think it's hilarious.
I don't know, Shane.
I know if I went out, like, I can't do it.
Yeah. And I could not do it.
I couldn't even come close. I'm telling you that if I went out drinking, I wouldn't last very long. My partner to my left is not a puker. He would be able to handle it.
The drinking part, the drinking and eating part, no.
The 9 hot dogs,
no. 9 beers
and
9 innings is easy. It's the hot dogs that's a problem.
That's the problem. Like, the drinking is not a problem for me. That's fine.
Any condiments on those hot dogs?
No, they got to be plain.
There's no sex in this. We're talking about eating and drinking. What are you talking about?
He said condiments, not condoms.
What does he say?
Condiments.
You don't know.
Different kind of edible arrangement.
Go ahead, Shay. What are you saying? Don't worry about this jack alone.
Can I dunk the buns in the beer? I don't want to dunk them in water. I feel like that's cheating. But if I dunk them in the beer, is that cheating? Go Joey Chestnut. And then I think the strategy is you just power through 9 hot dogs right off the top before you let yourself get full. Then you got 9 innings to sit in that while you go through the beers.
God, that just sounds so awful.
That's the sound of Shay Norling as the hot dogs drill into his stomach. And right out the old pooper.
Yeah, by the fourth inning, I'm going to have to take a lengthy bathroom stop. I might miss some time in the game.
Yeah.
But that's the strategy. So Tyler Rocky and I want to do this summer.
Tyler?
We're going to go to a game and we're going to do the 9x9x9 challenge. He's convinced he can do it. I talked to Danny about this yesterday. Danny said, no shot, Tyler can do it. I think I can do it.
Rocky?
Yeah.
No chance.
Why not?
I just don't. And I don't know him that well. I don't believe that he could sit there and eat 9 hot dogs and drink 9 beers. He's a very slender man. I just don't see
it. He's a slender man.
He is. He's in good shape.
He's a slender man.
Norling's a bigger person.
Yeah.
I still don't believe he could do it either. I do not. I feel like if anyone at the station could do it, it's Yerk.
You think?
I think Yerko could do it.
Maybe we'll see if Yerk wants to come with us and try this.
There's no way he's going to be doing that. No way.
Again, the 9 beers, I think, is no problem. We'll all clear the 9 beers.
I do not believe Waddle could do it. I do not believe Sylvie could do it.
Right.
Sylvie could probably. He's a way better drinker than I am. I do not believe anyone other than York could do 9 hot dogs, 9 beers over 9 innings.
No.
Why don't we consider getting Pepto-Bismol as a partner
They're sitting right here. Somebody left their nasty bottle in here.
Why is the Pepto nasty? I got to tell you, I came in on a Sunday morning when the basketball show was going on, and I was in rough shape after a Saturday night. That Pepto on the desk saved me.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I came in here the other day, and their used Kleenex are crumpled up right next to the keyboard that I've got to use.
Let's not do that again.
And I had to go get wipes because some of the Pepto had spilled onto the console.
Gnarly.
Nasty.
You know the culprit.
Yeah, right there.
I wasn't in that Sunday morning. That Sunday.
Oh, different Sunday morning.
Yeah, the Sunday prior. And I took the Pepto out and took a shot, baby birded it in here, in this back room.
Wow. This guy, man.
I had stomach problems. I had to take care of things.
There's a slob. All right, coming up, around the National Football League, as we baby bird it through until 10 o'clock, Cap and J-Hood is on ESPN 1000, also on 100.3 FM, HD2.
You're listening to Cap and J-Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at TheCapMan and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
We'll hear from Connor McKnight on the White Sox as we get ready for the Sox and Twins at 11:30 right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. But first, we go around the National Football League, and here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Every day, football, Hoodie, this league, it doesn't stop.
No.
And yesterday, Green Bay president Mark Murphy spoke. He was out there, I think, for the first time since Aaron Rodgers officially claimed his intention to play for the New York Jets next season. Mm-hmm. About a month ago that happened.
That was March 15th.
And Mark Murphy yesterday said the Packers are, quote, working on a Rodgers trade, and, quote, nothing more to say.
What do you mean nothing more to say? Shay. What do you mean nothing more to say?
You know what I think would be hilarious? Well,
no, Shay, what do you mean nothing? I mean, nothing?
That's something Brian's working on. I've been actively involved. There's really nothing more to say, Murphy said via Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com.
Our guy.
Okay. I'll ask you then, Shay. I'll ask you this question. So is this deal happening before or after the draft?
I don't know.
I'm saying it's happening before because they want the draft capital in this draft.
I would think that too, but we're getting late here.
But you know what? If it doesn't happen before the draft, I hope Rodgers does what Favre did. Was Yerk there then? What year would that have been?
I'm not sure.
No, Yerk would have been retired already.
Mm-hmm. Was that like 07?
Was it 07? So Favre showed up. He came back.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up for OTAs and minicamp. And they're like, oh, God, we got to get this deal done. Get him out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if Aaron Rodgers packed up the family truckster drove up to Green Bay? I'm here. Take a seat, Jordan.
He didn't do that when he was on the team. He's not doing it now.
He would do that if his agent told him, you're going to get this trade forced. You're showing up. He would absolutely. Favre did the same thing. The parallels are unbelievable.
It'd be funny if he did just show up out of nowhere. What's up, guys? What are you doing in the facility?
I'm still the quarterback of this team.
Jordan Love would look like he saw a ghost.
Oh, God.
He's like, he's in the playbook.
First team offense. Let's. Who is that? Oh, God.
Yes, out of the gloaming.
12 is out there?
Here comes 12. All right, guys, what's up? So I was thinking, what are you doing out here?
They didn't trade me. I'm here for work.
I love they say first team offense, and you see Love and Rodgers both going to the huddle.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Rodgers is like, out.
Wait a minute.
Thought it was my job.
Thought you were a Jet, bro. Not a Jet, bro. Still a Packer.
Yep.
Here we go. 40, hut. All of a sudden, throwing bombs. Get out of there, Rodgers. It's not your job.
He's so funny.
Shea Dorling.
It does kind of, like, I'm starting to wonder, does this deal get done before, like, June?
Well, I mean, it's getting done before the draft.
We talked about after, like, who has the leverage now when Rodgers made the announcement. And it was, is it the Packers or the Jets? The Packers seem like they can afford to have a laissez-faire attitude about
this. No shot. They can't have that money on their cap. They cannot, and they cannot have the sideshow. They cannot.
That's why I asked you guys, like, what's going to happen here with this?
Packers do not have the leverage here.
Very interesting. All right, brother, what else do we have?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers linebacker Devin White requested a trade. The Bucs have said they have no intention of trading him. He has an $11.5 million 50-year option. They're not intending to trade him despite the request, but the request is there.
And? The Bucs are going backwards as a team.
But what are they expecting to get? Like yesterday, Snorlings Lions traded Jeff Okuda. He was the third pick in the draft in 2020. Mm-hmm. He was better last year. He was injured, and there was the COVID thing. He got a fifth-round pick for him from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Jeff Okuda is actually a decent football player now. And if he's healthy, boy, for a fifth-round pick, I wish the Bears could have done that.
What did you think of that deal, Shay, when it came across your phone?
The Jeff Okuda deal?
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised by it. It's kind of a similar situation to Devin White, where he had an $11.5 million fifth-year option. He hasn't proved... Look, he played okay last year, but he hasn't proved that he can play 17 games in consecutive seasons. They already went out and signed two guys on their secondary in free agency. There wasn't really a role for him at $11.5 million a year. So you ship him to Atlanta, you get a pick back. Let me ask you this. Devin White, linebacker last year, plays on the inside, kind of on the ball a little bit.
Yep.
Questions about effort, but he got 5.5 sacks. Bears have 10 picks. You want to send one if it's a fifth?
I'd do that.
And where am I playing him?
Probably an inside linebacker.
A lot of those.
I mean, I've got Sanborn. I've got Tremaine Edmonds. I got TJ Edwards. I mean, I'm not in a 3-4.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, I need someone who can put their hand in the dirt and rush the passer. Mm-hmm. Nolan Smith, can he do that? He says he can.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that the Bears are set at linebacker? I mean, yeah, they did the linebackers, as you just mentioned, and Jack Sanborn, I guess, is going to be a guy. At least it's an experiment, if nothing else, for this upcoming season. Correct. He's going to have full autonomy. I'm sure it'll be the starter. Or will compete for the job in Lake Forest.
Correct.
At least compete for the job. I like stockpiling guys. Guys that has got experience. We'll see.
It's low risk. It's a one-year deal. Yeah. You have the money. You have the pick.
Yeah.
Maybe you get the reclamation project. Maybe you throw him on the outside. See if he can play with his hand in the dirt. He had 100-plus pass rush snaps last year.
Well, one of my biggest concerns for this football team is what they're going to do defensively on the line. I'm very concerned with that. I was telling Shay, I look at this depth chart every morning hoping that things would change, and I know it won't, but I just keep looking, and I still see Travis Gibson and Andrew Billings and Justin Jones. I'm like, you got to fix that. Draft a free agent. You got to fix that. You need some guys. I need the Bears to get to the quarterback. It only helps Justin on the other end. All right, Shay, you got one more you can squeeze in?
Yeah, why not? How about Adam Schefter saying not a lock that Houston picks a quarterback at number two?
I said that to you guys a month ago. I kept hearing that from my buddy I went to school with who works in the league. He said if the guy they want, which is believed to be Bryce Young, is not there, he would not be surprised if they took Will Anderson at two or traded.
So you're going to run it back with Davis Mills.
Is there any other veterans still on the street?
Case Keenum is the backup.
I mean unsigned free agents.
No, I don't know.
They don't believe they're going to be competitive next year, so they'd rather get a great player that they love than a quarterback they don't fully believe in.
So they're going to wait for next year on that quarterback,
correct?
Right? Okay. Because I guess, like a lot of markets, like Houston, where are you going? Where are you going next year?
Like D'Amico Ryans feels like, I got a good left tackle. We just extended the Laremy Tunsil. Like, locked in, really good player. I need some pass rush help.
And, of course, when the Houston Texans underachieve, they'll fire D'Amico Ryans, too. Another brother out the door. Coming up, we
doesn't
will
sound like it. He got a 6-year deal, and I think he got. I think he's the guy. He played there. He's beloved there. They got rid of Jack Easterby, the president. They're doing business differently. I'm telling you, D'Amico Ryans is there for a while.
Fire one brother, then you fire another one.
Those were 2 70-year-old dudes.
Oh, now you're being ageist.
No, I'm not being ageist. They hired Cully. All right, now we'll bring Lovey. All right, and then we'll get this thing
There was nothing
right.
wrong with brother Cully. That was his opportunity.
Don't disagree.
He's your age. It was his opportunity. He waited his turn. He gave him a head coach, and they fired his ass right on the spot. Same thing with Lovey.
Correct. Gone.
Get another out. Guy. You're being ageist.
I'm not being ageist. I'm being honest. D'Amico Ryans is the guy. He played there. He's beloved there. It's different.
Oh, it's different.
Yeah.
Oh, it's different.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll hold you to that. Connor McKnight.
Over under 3 seasons that he coaches.
And Houston, the way they do business.
Yeah.
Black? Out.
I will say
3's
over.
Hefty. I would price it at 1.5.
I'll say over 3. He'll coach at least 3 full seasons.
That's not how they do brothers in Houston.
Take that.
You've seen it.
Wow.
What? Oh, am I wrong? Have you not seen those firings?
This guy's not getting fired. He's not.
You write that down, Shay?
I'm not saying ever. Every coach gets fired, basically. I'm just telling you, he's there minimum of 3 years. Minimum.
Connor McKnight on the White Sox next on Cap'n J-Hood.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n J-Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Chicago Cubs in come-from-behind fashion defeat the Seattle Mariners by a score of 14-9. Nelson Velasquez hit his first career grand slam in the 8th inning to an 8-run 3rd inning for the Cubs as they win 14-9. The White Sox, they lose their game against Minnesota by a score of 4-3 in the 10th. Twins walked it off. It'll be Sox and Twins again. That'll be a noon start right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Lakers, they defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves in overtime by a score of 108-102. Also, Atlanta with a victory as well in their play-in game. The Bulls will have their chance to advance in the play-in tournament tonight against Toronto. Game time will be at 6 o'clock. Jay Moore.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap'n J. Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap'n J. Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Our next guest is on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Connor McKnight covers the Chicago White Sox like a blanket for ESPN and ESPN 1000. The Sox will take on the Twins. 11:30 pregame with Connor, and he joins us here. And Connor is always brought to you by...
That would be Felco. F-E-L-D-C-O. 866-4-FELCO.
Good morning, Connor. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Appreciate you having me on to open for Pedro Grifol. I've always wanted to be a quality opening act, and appreciate my first go-around.
Oh, that's good. We'll keep you for a tight 5, then you got to get off the stage.
That's it. Yeah, I got a tight 5 for you. I'm good for a tight 5.
Okay.
Do some light crowd work during the break, no problem.
Connor, I don't want to have the same hit with you as we did last year. I don't when it comes to the Sox defense. Like I can't go through another season of this. It has been the bugaboo for this team. Again, we can look at the talent, we can look at the roster, but what are your thoughts on the way the Sox have played defensively, especially in this series against the Twins?
You know, I think you've seen some bright, shining moments. That's a March Madness reference. And I think you've seen some tough plays, right? I think the double play that should have been, could have been with Hanser Alberto, you know, that ends up in Tim getting hurt is a play where you throw to second base, you get that out. I understand what was talked about after the game. It's a play Tim called for to get the ball back and try and check the lead runner. I understand that. That got talked about beforehand. There's the play Elvis Andrews makes last night. It's a terrific play. Play Roman Gonzalez made the other night. Great play. There's the relay the White Sox hit. Colas to Gonzalez to Alberto at third to cut down a runner. But there's a lot of defense that hasn't been quite up to snuff yet. Mostly that's been covered up by Luis Robert in center field and Andrew Benintendi in left when the ball gets into the outfield. I think most of this stuff should even out. The defensive numbers, I was just looking at the defensive run saved report that I get every morning. You know, I have it with coffee. It's kind of my way to start the day. Mm-hmm. And I was reminding myself that those numbers do take a little while to kind of even themselves out and get set. I think this is a team that can be better defensively than it has been, but it will need Yoan Moncada to get there. I think that's what White Sox fans have seen over the last little bit, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. Yoan is a really steadying force over at third, and they need him.
So talk to me about how injury after injury. Joe Kelly's jogging in from the bullpen. He ends up on the injured list with a groin. And then we have Moncada with a back, and we have Aloy with a hamstring, and we've got T.A. with a knee. Like, at what point do we have to reevaluate these guys? Because every year it's like, Aloy can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I understand. So let's separate two things, though, because Kelly came out of the bullpen for that fracas in Pittsburgh, and apparently that's where the issue happened. So it's a little bit different than just, you know, walking out to your entrance song. And then you saw the injury to T.A. That's a contact injury, right? Those are understandable. They're explainable. They suck. But, you see how that one happened. Eloy Jimenez, I was really taken by his comments when he talked with reporters after being placed on the injured list. He was, adamant is the right word. I don't know if Eloy has that, that disposition in him at this point, maybe. But he was pretty clear that he felt like he could pinch hit, maybe be available. Maybe that's erring on the side of caution. And maybe that is the White Sox looking at this differently and taking a different approach. Cap, I think last year, and perhaps even the year before, we saw guys playing hurt, right? Ranging from Leury Garcia to Luis Robert, both of them kind of taking swings where they didn't have competitive approaches to pitches coming in at 101. You don't want those guys out there at that level of hurt trying to compete. You also probably want to make sure that you're able to get guys to playing, 85, 90% throughout the entire season as opposed to 100%. For half of the season, however that works. There's a conversation to be had about who's available and when. I think that's a tough one to have if you're not really truly inside the brain of that particular player. The White Sox have done seemingly all that they can do to revamp a training staff. All that kind of stuff has been turned over twice now in the last couple of years. I don't know how much more you can do. I truly don't.
What is your letter grade for Lucas Giolito so far this season?
It's somewhere around a C, maybe a C plus. I think the stuff in a large part has been there. And whether it's Lucas Giolito or Lance Lynn, they've been hit hard at times. And even Michael Kopech, you can put into this. But the stuff, generally speaking, has been there. And that's what you like to see amidst some struggles, right? It would be one thing if you were throwing stuff up there looking like you're the end of the career. And it's another thing when the cutter moves and you get 10 strikeouts like Lance bounced back with the other night, or you're getting the strikeouts like Lucas Giolito had. I'd like to see more slider usage and a better slider from Lucas. I think we saw some of that in his prior start. I think the bounce back after two rough innings, two somewhat shaky innings against a very good offense in Houston was commendable. It was a really good bounce back. I would like to see a solid start today against the Twins. It's a lineup that he has been able to work around in times past. It's a lineup that's gotten him every now and again. And I think you can say that gets kind of your classic divisional matchup, right? Sometimes you get the bar, and sometimes the bar, you get the rest. I need to see a good one from Lucas today. I know Pedro feels the same way.
No, we don't get the rest. What is the rest of that?
Yeah, he gave us a 9, an ERA of 9.
You get the bar, sometimes the bar. It's Sam Elliott, he's the bar and Big Lebowski, and he's doing the whole, he says this is a man for his era, and Lebowski's going up and down the grocery aisles, buying stuff for White Russians. Come on, you guys have seen the movie?
I've never seen it.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, I've seen that. I also want to know.
Movie is this? Big Lebowski?
The Big Lebowski.
Never saw it.
Fantastic
the Big
movie.
Lebowski. They don't air it directly after draft day, Cap, so you probably haven't taken the credit for it.
Wow.
There's a reason why they have programming at midnight. That's what draft day is, where you can find that. Do you go fracas or fracas in that spot, Connor? You gave us, fracas.
I'm a fracas guy. I'm a fracas guy. I always have been.
Okay. All right. Yep. Checking out on that. Go ahead.
Okay, so Sonny Gray, other than when he was a Yankee where he struggled, guy's a beast. He fanned 13 in the home opener. His ERA through two starts is .75. Lucas has a 9 ERA. He is a 3.99 in sunshine. When he pitches in the daylight, he's better than he is at night in his career. What do you expect out of this matchup today? Because, you know, you win the game, you leave there with 2 out of 3, and you feel pretty good about yourself. You lose this game, and you're 5-8, and you're like, what in the hell is going on?
Yeah, and that's why, you know, looking back to last night, as difficult as Pablo Lopez was setting down 23 in a row, the White Sox needed, you know, one more hit, you know, one more ball in play, something into the outfield, a dying quail, to maybe get one more on the board in that first inning against Lopez when he was human. I think, you know, that same kind of approach could serve them well today against Sonny Gray, knowing that getting him early can be a good thing. Gray's, you know, right-hander, good breaking ball, decent command of the fastball. I've seen him pitch really well against the White Sox. I've seen him get tuned up. You know, I like the idea of going Benintendi, Robert, Vaughn, and Sheets at the top of this lineup. Sheets has quietly had a very, very good plate approach over the last 5-6 games that he's played. You saw the tough at-bat he gave Duran last night. Ended up striking out. Most people do against Duran, except for Luis Robert when he's taking him deep to tie the ball game. But yeah. Sheets hung in there for, I think it was 13 pitches. And guys, I think 10 of the 13 were triple digits. He hit 103 a couple of times, Duran did. And Yasmani Grandal has been pretty good so far, too. You know, a couple good at-bats early, get some runs on the board and play with a lead. I think that's really important today, especially the way the bullpen has pitched, really stepping up lately. You need Lucas to keep the ball in the yard. I think that's where White Sox starters obviously have gotten dinged quite a bit this year. The home run, the long ball has gotten them. I think in a couple of months, maybe June, you and I and Hoodie will have the conversation about what this baseball is, and is it a tennis ball or is it a golf ball? I don't know, but this is a baseball everybody's using, I think, and you got to keep it in the yard.
I'm reading between the lines there, Connor. I think I know what you're saying. Connor's keys to the series, the next series for the Sox against the Orioles, is brought to you by Lenny File and Hartside Realtors. So tell us about Javi Lopez, BJ Surhoff, and Melvin Mora. What do the... What do the Orioles bring to the table here? And Sidney Ponson on the mound for the Orioles. Go ahead.
Excuse me, Jonathan. Sir Sidney Ponson.
Oh,
the
beg your pardon.
Is knighted.
Yes, he is knighted. That is sir.
The man had been knighted. I don't
and
know.
And name Sidney Ponson's home country.
It's
Aruba.
Aruba.
It's,
bam.
Yeah. Aruba. It's Aruba?
That's yeah, it. Is.
All right. That's good. That's good. This is good Sidney Ponson trivia, which I had not prepared for this morning.
Well, you're supposed to tell us about the next series with the Orioles. I want you to tell us,
right.
What does Palmeiro bring to the table in this next series for the Orioles?
I was thinking Mark Belanger might be a key in this series.
Yep, got to watch out for Andrew Jones. And listen, I think at any point, Brian, oh my gosh, what was the name of the guy that Jim Hendry wanted for decades and decades?
Brian Roberts.
Roberts, the
Thank
second baseman.
You, yeah. Brian Roberts, with his multicolored contacts.
Andrew Jones didn't play for them. Adam did.
That's right. Listen, Ryan Mountcastle is making a really, really good run here. I mean, everybody knows about Adley Rutschman. We can talk about him until the end of time. Watch out for Ryan Mountcastle right in the middle of that lineup. He's the first baseman. He slugged. He hit the big one the other night. Jorge Mateo has quietly had a pretty good start to the season, and he is an electrifying shortstop. You got to watch out for that. The Orioles pitching staff has been kind of a, you know, I'm interested in it. They had a chance, guys, to really make an addition this offseason, maybe by going after Carlos Rodon, injury notwithstanding. Going after one of the big-name starters, maybe even Justin Verlander. I know he wanted to be with the Mets, but they didn't. So the Orioles, I think key to this series, maybe number one, is they have left themselves open in terms of being able to be gotten pitching-wise. They didn't shore up that staff the way they possibly could have in free agency. Get them early. You know, I think that's kind of the biggest point. This White Sox offense has been good. Keep that up.
My friend, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
A pleasure.
Have a great day, kid.
Brian Roberts for life.
Connor McKnight.
That's it.
On the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry, call the Car X man.
And brought to you by Feldco.
What's the first rule of Fight Club? Next on Cap and J Hood.
Oh,
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We're with you until 10. Then Mike Greenberg steps in from 10 to 11:30 right into White Sox baseball. The Sox take on the Twins. 11:30 pregame with Connor McKnight and a noon start as Lucas Giolito takes the mound for the Sox. Waddle and Sylvie after the game, followed by it'll be Bleck and Abdallah from 6 to 8 and Freddie and Fitzsimmons from 8 until midnight right here on ESPN 1000. So Shane Norling, what's the first rule of Fight Club?
Cap, why don't you fill us in? What's the first rule of Fight Club?
I have no idea. I've never seen the movie.
Hoodie, can we tell him? I think we're breaking the rule if we tell him.
I just, there is a number of movies that you just got to take a look at. Not necessarily because they're popular, but because I think you'd find it interesting. The first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
That may have helped in this story out of Florida here, Hood.
Yeah.
From WSAZ. No screaming, no yelling, no phones, said a Florida teacher accused of organizing fights at her middle school.
I want you to think about this for a second. Okay. So there's several websites. I'm sure, Shay, Jay Moore, you might be on this as well. There's several Twitter accounts in which you could see fights, actual fights. Have you seen this, Cap?
I have not.
I will forward these to you where you can just go to certain spots on Twitter where there is video coverage of actual fights in classrooms, in gas stations, whatever. Because you know what happens is in our society, we just film. We don't help anymore because everything's world star. We got to be able to just get it out there, put it on TMZ, because instead of helping your neighbor, you want to film your neighbor in whatever embarrassing situation it is. So go on with this story. Apparently, this lady, this teacher, says, okay, instead of me trying to break up the fights, I want to organize fights.
Yeah, it says several sixth grade girls told detectives that they participated in planned fights during school hours, and they alleged they were invited back for additional fights. The teacher made statements including 30 seconds, no screaming, no yelling, no phones, stop pulling hair.
Seriously.
I mean, oh my God.
Yeah. She's like, you know what? If I can't beat them, I'm going to join them. We're going to have organized matches here.
You remember when the guy right in front of our window here got cold cocked right here on State Street and down he went?
Yeah.
The guy that would come out here every day and smoke a joint in front of us.
Yeah, bum fights.
And three guys jumped him. And the one guy was like, put his hand out to shake his hand. And I said to you, uh-oh. And he brought him in and bam, down he went like a sack. We called the security immediately.
Yes.
We didn't get our phones out and start filming.
That's the thing. But the whole point is, though, is that this lady, Cap, this lady is in organizing fights in her classroom. Middle schoolers. Correct, Shay? Middle schoolers.
Yeah, sixth graders. She's got a boxing ring going in the middle of her classroom.
I mean,
I ain't going down no more.
Seriously.
There's my guy, Rocky.
Get ready for World War III.
There we go.
Yeah. I mean, really?
Need Stu Nahan on the call.
What has happened to our society where people that are supposed to be in a classroom of higher learning, decides we're going to organize fights? Who does that?
Dude, we hear about teachers, men and women, both, having sex with like 13-year-old students.
All right.
I mean, what is... Like, what? Fights? We got a fight club going on in what grade was this? The seventh?
Sixth grade. Middle schoolers. Yeah.
Nothing ceases to amaze me in this effed up world anymore.
Of course, someone like that should be put under the jail. And I would say this, if there's a fight that breaks out in your classroom and there's no security, there's no principal, like maybe it's not for you. She's pretty much saying, you guys are always bickering. How about this? Let me just be Vince McMahon here. I'm just going to bring all of these fighters together. You fight her. Let's go. Really?
You're going to be Vince McMahon with the new mustache?
Exactly.
I mean, really?
I ain't going down no more.
There you go.
Gosh.
Cut me, man. Cut me.
Just like, what is going on with this world, Cap? What's going on in this world?
I don't get it.
Just help me.
I don't get it.
Scheduled to join us next, Pedro Grifol, the manager of the Chicago White Sox. That's in 2 minutes on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.